Well, good evening and welcome. Before we start, I'm going to ask if people who have sat anywhere beyond 15 metres of the front can come to the front, because we're very scattered and we are hoping to collect questions through the night, and it will make it a lot less legwork for people who are wanting to do that. If we all sit a little bit closer, it might also make it a more friendly gathering. This is a chance to get up close and personal with our politicians or aspiring politicians, so please take the opportunity to come forward. Even though it is church, and I know there's an unwritten rule in church that the first 8 rows are free. While you do that, let me introduce myself. I'm David Bush, and while I'm designated on your program as having a particular role in the ABC, I stand here entirely as Joe Citizen, and very happy to be invited to facilitate and moderate this evening in an entirely neutral, non-partisan and non-ABC way. I'll even try not to be Tony Jones and interrupt our panellists too much. Certainly wouldn't aspire to be the thinking woman sex symbol, that's for sure. May I encourage you to turn your mobile phones at least onto silent. We're not going to be flying in such hot air that the leaving it on will interrupt our flying instruments, but at least not having them ring loudly will be a help for us. Tonight, if you need to use the facilities, you can exit through those glass doors at the side or through the back and come around, and they are behind us here. There's a passageway behind us if you need to do that. Our hope is to, our expectation, intention is to finish here around 9 o'clock. So it won't be a late night. You can dash home and watch the end of Gruen Nation and the beginning of The Chaser, and then stay up for Late Line and all the rest of it. What a great night ahead. But the highlight of the night will be here. Of course, you'll have had your dose of political insight before you even get to Late Line. Before we begin, I'm going to invite Ravina Waldron from Catholic Murray Ministry to come and do Welcome to Country. Thanks, Ravina.
Good evening. Let us acknowledge the traditional custodians who have walked and cared for this land for thousands of years, and their descendants who maintain these spiritual connections and traditions. Let us also observe 1 minute silence to reflect on the millions of footprints that have walked and travelled the dreaming pathways, and our own loved ones who have gone before us. So if we could just stand and take a moment's silence, please, to remember our elders, those who care and maintain the wisdom and traditions of our culture. Thank you.
Thank you, Ravina. This evening is a joint exercise of the Catholic, Anglican and Uniting Churches, their respective social justice and peace agencies, and for the Uniting Church, the Moreton Rivers Presbytery. And I'm going to ask Andrew Johnson from the Moreton Rivers Presbytery, who's also one of the panellists who'll be asking questions of our politicians, to come and open the proceedings with prayer.
Gracious God, be present with us tonight as we seek to discern your will for our nation. Be with each of our candidates and be with their families. We know that elections can be trying and difficult times for candidates, and we would pray your peace and love surround them. Be with our nation and each of the communities as they listen and try and discern what is the peaceful, justice, loving and right way for our country. And be with each one of us tonight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Now, the churches who put this on have issued a statement about faith at the ballot box, which is in your program, but was felt to be important to actually have that in the front of mind as we consider the issues that are for discussion tonight. And so I'm going to ask Shana Tucker from the Catholic Social Justice and Peace Commission to come forward and read that statement to us as a guiding set of principles and ideas from the faith communities about the political debates for this election. Thank you, Shana.
Many faith-based organisations have put out material in the lead-up to this year's election, including the Catholic Bishops and the Uniting Church National Assembly. We have drawn on that material in preparing this paper for this evening. We urge Christians to take their democratic freedom seriously and become involved in the political process. For some, this will also mean making informed ethical choices at the ballot box. For others, it might mean standing for election. We acknowledge and encourage the many Christians who are already engaged in political life at various levels. Relationship with God takes us deeper into the fullness of life, all the wonder and joy, and all the harshness and sadness. Christianity is a faith of engagement. Knowing the love of God leads us to loving others. The way we are called to express this love is found in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Jesus is the love of God breaking into the world. Those who were marginalised by others were accepted and loved by Jesus. Jesus spoke of God's bias for the poor and the weak. He challenged the systems and structures of oppression in his society. As Christians, we are called to challenge systems and structures in our society that do not address the problems of injustice, poverty, and oppression. As we experience the fullness of life that relationship with God in Christ offers us, we learn that the Christian life demands of us more than a little courage. We are not called to merely believe. We are not called to put limits on God's love. Christians cannot fear the stranger and remain indifferent to suffering. We cannot live faithfully unless we open the doors of our hearts and the doors of our churches. Many Christian traditions hold that the common good is underpinned by the promotion and protection of human dignity. Implicit in seeking the common good is a desire to serve the poor, the marginalised, the sick and the forgotten in our society. An economy for life, then, would be marked by regard for the common good. Economic systems which are based on values such as individualism, competition and greed deny human flourishing, because the fullness of our humanity is not found in wealth, but in relationship with each other and the world around us. Clearly, an economy which sees conservation of the natural environment or protection of the poorest as secondary or peripheral question will come under challenge from this faith perspective. Wealth creation is never an end in itself. We look towards fashioning an economy which supports a rich life, not necessarily a life of riches. The values at the heart of our faith have led Christian churches to highlight their concerns and priorities about a range of issues, including the ethical issues associated with public policy and a range of life issues, including abortion, euthanasia, stem cell research, capital punishment, and other issues concerning the dignity of human life. The impact of changing taxation, welfare, and industrial relations arrangements on people, families and communities. Just policies which acknowledge the culture, unique history and disadvantage of Indigenous Australians and promote genuine partnerships. Ensuring all people have access to healthcare, education and housing as a basic human right, particularly those on the margins of society, including those with mental illness. Dignity and choice for older Australians when making decisions about accommodation and care. care of God's creation for a sustainable future for the earth and future generations, in particular management of water resources, effective response to climate change and the conservation of our unique natural heritage, respecting the dignity of people who flee persecution and violence in other lands, and encouraging our nation to practice the biblical tradition of welcoming the stranger. Responsibility as a global citizen to be generous in seeking to eradicate extreme poverty and cooperatively work to promote peace. Fundamental to the process of government in a free and democratic nation are transparency, respect for human rights, honesty and community engagement. As Christian communities, we see it as important to play a role in our political process, and the opportunity to engage with our political leaders at this election is vital. We appreciate the opportunity we have this evening. Building an economy for life requires the gift of hope that we have been offered by God. This is the hope that reminds us that the world can be different. Out of this hope, we can speak and serve with confidence as we strive to be faithful to the heart of the Christian gospel, seeking the promise of a world where all creation flourishes and all people live in dignity and hope.
Thank you, Shana. It's a very comprehensive statement. I'm sure you'd agree. Lots to think about. Let me introduce our panellists and then the process that we will undergo tonight and get the discussion underway. It is a great privilege to have our four candidates or politicians here tonight, and we're very grateful that each of you have prioritised this among everything else that you might have done, including even possibly a night off. It's very good that you've done this. And it looks like, I guess, today that Tony's not going to debate Julia a second time. So we've got our own little leaders' debate happening here. And it's exactly, I'm told, the halfway point of the campaign. So we're at the fulcrum. And so it's really good that you're able to be part of this process. I'm going to introduce our four people, and then I'll invite you to applaud them all together rather than one at a time. So starting over there on your far left, we have Senator Claire Moore, far left geographically, not politically. Claire, born in Toowoomba, university courses before working public Commonwealth Public Service, experience in the Commonwealth Public Service Union, a position that you held through the 90s until elected in 2001. And Claire took her position as a senator in July 2002 for Queensland. Particular passions in Indigenous issues and native title, friends of the ABC, Australian Republican Movement, Overseas Aid, Queensland Council of Unions, Women's History, and even in your interests, Claire, detective fiction, Paul Keating, art galleries and cricket. There you go. Okay. And in her political career, Claire's been involved in a number of political and parliamentary committees, including being chair of the Parliamentary Group on Population Development, which is one that's becoming relevant to this particular campaign. Claire is not up for re-election this year, but of course on the hustings supporting the Labor Party. Next to Claire is Libby Connors. Libby is a candidate for the Greens for the Senate in Queensland, and Libby's been involved in human rights and environmental and community politics for many years. Senior lecturer in history at the University of Southern Queensland, where she teaches Australian history. Libby's written several publications on Queensland history and co-authored three books on aspects of Australian history and writing a fourth on early Queensland. Have I got those all correct there, Libby? Good on you. Libby is married to someone else we'd know very well, Drew Hutton, and the two were foundational in helping to form the Queensland and Australian Greens. Next to Libby is Senator Brett Mason. Brett was born in Canberra and holds a Bachelor of Arts degree and a Bachelor of Laws with honours. He's got a Master's in Philosophy from Cambridge and a PhD from Griffith. So, great mind in there. He worked as a barrister and lecturer in criminology at QUT before being elected to the Senate in 1998 for the Liberal Party. In the final year of the Howard government, he was Parliamentary Secretary for Health and Ageing. And now in opposition, he's a Shadow Parliamentary Secretary for Education and School Curriculum Standards and Shadow Parliamentary Secretary for Innovation, Industry, Science and Research. Not sure about Brett's personal interests, but he's the author of Privacy Without Principle, The Use and Abuse of Privacy in Australian Law and Public Policy. So if you want to talk about the Do Not Call Register or maybe even the internet filter, I'm not sure, probably not, see Brett. Brett is up for re-election this year. And finally, next to Brett is Wendy Francis, and Wendy is the lead Senate candidate for Family First. And Wendy's a high-profile businesswoman with a background in management, marketing and community activism. She's a board member and director of Samaritan's Purse Australia and the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association and a committee member of the Family Association of Queensland. She's executive producer also of the Lord Mayor's Christmas Carols in Brisbane. Be warming up shortly, I would expect, Wendy. Married to Peter Francis, who's the senior pastor at the City Tabernacle Baptist Church here in Brisbane. And somewhere in the web it said that at only 48 she's a grandmother of 8 and a mother of 3, which seemed to be an example of putting family first. I'm not really sure what that means. Okay, credentials in family concerns right up there at the front. Wendy has achieved the rare distinction of having her political ad rejected by an outdoor billboard company and had her own leaders' debate with Australian Sex Party on Sunrise Television a few days ago. I don't know whether you saw that. It was certainly a much feistier affair than what Julia and Tony had managed to deliver last weekend. Would you please welcome our four political candidates? We've got a bit like the leaders' debate, isn't it? We've got a little panel here of people who are going to be the interlocutors, the questioners, to open up the issues for our politicians. And I'll introduce those to you, then we can applaud them all together. We have next to Wendy Francis on the far side here is the very Reverend Dr. Peter Catt, who is Anglican Dean of Brisbane. We have Andrew Johnson, who holds a number of positions. He has been social justice advocate for the Uniting Church Synod, and since that position kind of evaporated due to some funding issues, Andrew has pursued his interests in social justice and environmental issues for the Uniting Church through the Moreton Rivers Presbytery and attached to the West End Mission, the Southside Inner City Parish of the Uniting Church. Welcome, Andrew. And Camilla Cowley, who is well known as an activist of many years standing on Indigenous issues and refugees, being very strongly involved in those issues and involved in the Catholic Church social justice work. Would you please welcome Peter, Andrew and Camilla. Now, in preparation for tonight, they worked out what are some of the key issues that we want to unpack in this, and you'd be aware, maybe, that this is one of two of these forums. The next one is next Monday night at St Paul's Uniting Church, Stafford, where we'll have two of the same candidates here and two others. And the delineation of how we would divide the subjects for the two nights is that tonight, I suppose in a very broad sense, you might say we're talking about social policy, although there are strong economic implications in that, and social and international policy. And then next Monday night, it's more the hard economic stuff to do with tax and poverty and population and housing and that sort of stuff. Tonight, the focus of the questions that have been proposed by the panel are in the areas of mental health, climate change, border protection and asylum seekers and Indigenous issues. So you are welcome yourselves to participate in this by using the blank sheet of paper that you received in your program. That is a piece of paper for you to be able to write questions. And you can start writing them now, or you can write them through the discussion that's happening or through the evening. And if I invite Shana to stand again and Sean Cleary, they're standing over here at the moment, I might suggest that one of them go onto that side. As you write your question, tear it in half if you want to write more than one, would you just, you know, without being too obtrusive about it, hold it up at shoulder height, and that will be a signal that they will come and collect it from you. And then after we've had the initial batch of questions with the panel, we'll go to questions from you. Our desire is not really to open up to conversation at the floor, but to actually direct the questions in writing that have come from you to the panel in order to help make it focused and the best use of time. So that is your way of actually putting your questions to the candidates.